So what all do you have? A business, cars, houses, properties, bank accounts? Are you concerned that any of these can be taken away from you if someone sues you? Have you done all you can to protect all of your assets? Well, you really ought to get in touch with the experts down at Barth Calderon LLP. They're a law firm that specializes in asset protection and estate planning, and they can help you protect what's yours so that predators and creditors can't get their hands on them. Give them a call at 800-548-8564. That's 1-800-548-8564 for a free consultation. Hey, tell them the Exit Coach sent you. When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.com.
Bill Black is a registered representative with and securities offered through Crown Capital Securities LP member, FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Barth Financial Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from CCS. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of Crown Capital Securities LP or Barth Financial Advisors, LLC. California Insurance License 0652621.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I hope you had a great day. Here in Southern California, we are proud to bring you this edition of the Exit Coach Radio Show, where we cover a wide variety of topics for you, our hero, the private business owner, so that you can be well planned. We have a great show lineup tonight. A couple of our guests, we're going to talk about legal issues that you should be thinking about as you grow your business so that you don't make mistakes along the way that you'll regret at some future point. And then we're also going to be talking about how you can get your mind straight, how you can think correctly about your business, your employees, your future, and some great tips and precautions for you along those lines. Now, I want to remind you that if you miss any portion of the show, you can go to our website at exitcoachradio.com, where you will find all of our recorded shows that we've done, especially the ones on here on AM 830. All you have to do is find the AM 830 tab on our website, which is at exitcoachradio.com, and you can listen anytime to any of our prior episodes. And we sure hope you'll tell your friends about us and follow us on Twitter at Exit Coach. And lastly, I just want to remind you that if you go to our website, exitcoachradio.com, you will find all kinds of tools. Like, for instance, we have a planning tool there where you can estimate the value of your business at no cost. We have another planning tool where you can develop a plan to work with your managers to increase that value of your business. And we have yet other tools and strategies to retain key employees, to get ideas on how to start your transition from overtime president to part-time chairman, and all kinds of great things for you that to listen to and watch there at exitcoachradio.com. So we sure hope you'll join us there. We're really happy that you've given us such great reviews and comments, and really hope that you can sit back, listen in, and learn something from our amazing guest tonight. Really want to thank you once again for all the great comments. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you enjoy the show. Now it's time for sales tips with Brad Leggett of the Leggett Group.
Brad, where do new sales managers tend to stumble?
They tend to stumble in three key areas when they move from sales to sales management. They tend to stumble in managing across and operating the executive level. They're used to managing up with their own manager. They often make a pretty good transition to managing with their manager, the CEO of the company, but it's a head shift change for them to work with other peers in the company and understanding the perspectives of finance, understanding the perspectives of operation, and what matters to each of these folks and how they need to interact with them. Secondly, moving to a company strategy from an account-specific strategy. When I'm a sales rep, I'm responsible for bringing in a deal from an account. As a sales manager, I need to develop a strategy for the entire sales team about what markets to pursue, what accounts to pursue, and how to get business from a broad range of accounts, and bringing that data back to the company to develop its overall strategic plan. And finally, coaching and developing talent, changing the mindset from I'm responsible for doing this to I'm the person that will coach and lead a team and have the right people in place to achieve the sales target through them.
To get in touch with Brad, go to his website at LeggettSales.com. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. You know, protecting your family and business is essential for your peace of mind, but unfortunately this process can be complicated, confusing, and frustrating. It requires an in-depth knowledge, expertise, and experience in the areas of law, taxes, estate planning, wealth management, and insurance, as well as the understanding of sound business practices. That's why you need a trusted legal and financial advisors. Al Rash is an attorney with an MBA, a former CPA, a licensed insurance agent, and a certified senior advisor. If you need someone who will listen to you and provide expert legal and financial support, call Al Rash at Albert J. Rash & Associates, 714-432-0794. That's 714-432-0794. Hey everybody, this is Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show here on AM 830 on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You know, one of the questions I get asked the most is how can I grow the value of my business so I can sell it someday? We've put together a report called Value Drivers, 10 Steps to Grow the Value of Your Business, and we're making it available free to AM 830 listeners. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222. Welcome back, everyone. With me now is Addison Adams, and he's an attorney with Richardson and Patel. Welcome to the show, Addison.
Thank you very much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure because we're going to talk about legal issues around growing your business. And we've talked a bit about this topic on the phone, and I was fascinated by some of the things we're going to cover. But first, tell us a little bit about your background, your personal story. What's happened in your life to bring you to here where you are today?
Sure. Well, I am a native Californian, born in Los Angeles, and was a finance and real estate undergrad in college, and then went to law school down in San Diego, and worked for a couple years at a large class action complex litigation law firm, and did that here in Orange County, and then joined another firm doing similar work, getting experience also in intellectual property and labor matters, and then joined my current firm about 14 years ago and moved up into LA where the firm is headquartered. Mm-hmm. And then for the past 14 years, my work there has been primarily corporate transactional mergers and acquisitions and corporate finance for emerging growth companies.
So you've seen a lot of situations over the years, especially in the M&A and corporate transactions world.
Absolutely.
And is Richardson and Patel a large law firm? Tell us a little about the firm.
The firm I would describe as a middle market securities boutique firm. We've expanded into New York City as well, and so we have an equal presence on each coast. And we've really made a name for ourselves representing small public companies that are traded over the counter or on NASDAQ and are in a growth mode to really increase their presence and their market cap and their revenues and everything that goes with that. And about two-thirds of the firm does what I do, which is corporate transactional and securities work. The other third does business litigation and matters related to securities claims. And so in addition to the securities work for public companies, we also represent private companies. We take them public through mm-hmm. IPOs and through alternative public offerings, which are direct listings or reverse merger transactions, or through an actual acquisition by a larger public company. It's another way to go public. And the firm is interesting. One of the things that drew me to the firm and one of the stamps that I've helped put on the firm is our business mindset, our practical business advice. Our tagline for the firm is Business Minds for Legal Matters. And of course, we're a group of lawyers and we're trained in the law and our advice is legal advice. But without context of the practical business realities, legal advice can fall short. And mm-hmm. So we're very much pride ourselves on being entrepreneurial on our clients' behalf to help them understand and weigh the different importances of essentially risk that they are accepting to take as part of growing their business.
So when clients come to you, they're thinking along the lines of, I want to get into a debt transaction or equity transaction of some kind, either go public or raise money to grow or things along those lines. And you have the background and the abilities to tell them, okay, well, let's talk about the pros and cons of each of the different types of transactions, correct?
Absolutely.
And that's where they come to you for guidance in those areas. Is that a typical client situation for you? Or have they already gone? You said you already work with companies that have already gone public. What's a typical?
Well, most of the companies that I work with are at the smaller end of the spectrum. So these companies are either startup companies with no revenues, or their revenues are in the 1 or 5 million, 10 million range, up to about $100 million. This is the focus of my firm and of my specific practice.
Okay.
Which means that for the most part, they don't have any in-house general counsel. They may have an in-house attorney that's very specific to their exact product, that's churning out perhaps a customer agreement or a specific type of license, depending on what their product or service is. But they don't have a generalist that's able to come in and help with any kind of labor dispute or distribution matter, and certainly not the expertise to handle a corporate finance transaction. And by that, what I mean is primarily that refers to an investor coming in to write a check or a group of investors to buy equity in the company.
Do you find that a lot of people are so grateful that somebody's going to write a check that they don't think through a lot of the situations? I mean, do you see a lot of messes in those situations? Or obviously you'd rather have people come to you before someone wants to invest and be prepared for that kind of a situation.
That's exactly right. And that's actually a role that I play for a lot of the earlier stage startup companies, is giving them advice early on in the process and also being available for quick questions as they go through the effort of trying to find capital and, more importantly, grow their business into something that's no longer an idea. It's actually turned into revenues. And then when an opportunity comes along, there's no time lost getting up to speed on what the business is and what the needs are. So from the point of view of, I think, being prepared for that, having an attorney such as myself in the Rolodex and, you know, ready to be activated at a moment's notice is very important, and it can be very helpful too, just in terms of any day-to-day legal needs that come up.
Are there any particular industries that you specialize in, or is it across the board with your firm?
We do a fair amount of entertainment companies and interactive media, online websites, e-commerce, and manufacturing and distribution, mm-hmm. and tech, of course, and software. So the main areas for, particularly for the going public transactions, tends to be patent-heavy tech-related industries.
A lot of intellectual property involved, and that has its own specialties and complications, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That can be very important. So, and you asked the question about whether there can be maybe a rush to accept capital as soon as it's offered to you. And of course, that depends very much on the status of the company, whether it's a startup that's living off of whatever savings are there, mm-hmm. or whether it's already an established business that's cash flow positive and has much more time and resources and options available. So the first thing that I think any business owner that's looking to grow their business needs to evaluate if they're wanting to raise capital in order to grow their business is to assess whether they'd be interested in raising debt or raising equity or raising some combination of that.
That's a great place for a break. We're going to come back right after this commercial and talk about that. I'm talking with Addison Adams of Richardson & Patel LLP in Irvine. We'll be right back. Richardson & Patel LLP provides corporate and securities transaction and litigation services to emerging growth companies and their advisors and investors. As a valued legal advisor to emerging growth clients, Richardson & Patel has seamlessly integrated the art of business and the science of law to deliver business minds for legal matters. Partner Addison Adams would be happy to speak with you. Call 310-208-1182. That's 310-208-1182.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel for The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Well, let's go back and wrap up our discussion of going public here, and I want to interject here. I'm going to call them in about 4 or 5 years, and we're ready to take this platform public here. We now know who the attorney is we should talk to here.
There you go. Well, absolutely. You need a specialist in this particular area. So I'm talking with Addison Adams of Richardson and Patel LLP in Irvine. And Addison, before the break, we talked about some of the pros and cons of raising capital, whether debt or equity. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the first thing I think to really think about is if you, as a business owner, can grow the company without raising capital and just self-funding it, then you, of course, are giving yourself the majority of the upside. However, if you have a risky company, a startup idea that you believe will be highly successful, but you know that there's some risk that it may or may not work out, then the wise thing for you to do, even if you have all the money you need to invest in it, would be to distribute some of that risk and bring in some partners. In that case, you would be interested in equity investors because you don't want to take on the added risk of being forced to pay back the debt if things don't work out on the business venture. And so in that scenario, that can be very, very wise, even though you're giving up some of the upside. If the business needs capital to grow, then bringing in that capital and getting the business grown is the right thing to do, even if you're giving up even a significant amount of ownership of the company in order to do so. I like to say that it's better to own a slice of the watermelon than all of the grape.
Uh-huh. That's a good visual.
Yes. And of course, bringing in the capital, if that's what's needed, is something that needs, you know, should get done and needs to get done, because just to follow the metaphor, you'd hate to see your grape die on the vine. Conversely, if the business obviously is able to borrow debt because it has assets that will interest a lender, or it has a history of profitability, then the risk of it not being able to pay off that debt is less, and the opportunity to grow the business and hold all the equity in the owner's hands instead of sharing it gives the owner more of the upside on the eventual exit down the road.
I see. Okay. So now when we talk about raising capital by equity, there are many ways to go, right?
Sure.
When is a company the right size to consider an IPO or a public offering, or what are the alternatives to that for different sizes of company?
Well, my focus again is at the smaller end of the business spectrum, the sub $100 million revenue companies. And for them, the main thing about going public is going to be, there's a lot of costs involved with going public, not only in the cost of the experts, the lawyers, and the accountants, that also you need to train your management on how to be public and how to be careful about disclosures and insider trading and all of these requirements that are involved. So you want to make sure going public is going to be successful in the long run for your company. And in order for that to happen, what you need is to have both the capital to handle it after you're public, as well as a growth plan, a growth strategy that will justify being public. Because if you're a small company, even a startup company, you can go public as a method to gain access to capital. And this is something that I work on quite a bit. However, the business, the product, the service, it needs to be something that has a growth story attached, a large market, a disruptive technology. And so what we see is that for smaller companies, it either falls into the category of a patent-heavy, intellectual property-heavy business, or it may be something that's more traditional, like a distributor or manufacturer or a traditional business that has big plans to grow by acquisition. Maybe it's a regional player in California, mm-hmm. and plans to just expand and roll out nationwide and then worldwide. And going public is thought that can help raise large amounts of cash to buy these other smaller competitors and also potentially use their public stock as a currency to buy the other competitors in lieu of cash and then fold them into a larger operation. You've got to go from small to big in order for it to make sense as a public company.
Is there a number you can assign to that revenues-wise when somebody's gotten to the area where it even starts to make sense, and below that it doesn't make sense at all?
We did an IPO last month for a company that has no revenues but has a huge patent portfolio. It was a smaller size IPO, $15 million, and a great team around it and a great idea. This company could grow into a huge company. If and when the product gets commercialized, it will be a large market. But of course, there's a risk that it won't work out. And so,
very circumstantial based on the fact pattern and the growth projections, as you mentioned. Right?
Correct. And I would say that if you're not relying on a huge patent library, then you'd want to have north of $100 million in revenues in order for it to make sense to do an IPO.
Okay. Well, that's something our listeners can hang their hat on, I guess. It's not for the small. What about private equity or transactions along those lines? You all handle those types of things as well, right?
Absolutely.
So for the smaller investor that needs equity, would that be another avenue that they would take a look at if they weren't big enough to go public?
Yes, bringing in partners from angel investors or from private equity funds. Now, typically, private equity funds will come in as the acquisition and buy your whole business or buy a whole division of your business. It's rare that they would take a minority position. And so that is where you'd be looking more at angel investors and venture capital, sources of capital in terms of equity. Mm-hmm. And, of course, friends and family that you can find.
Friends and family. Oh, always good.
Always good.
Well, yes. Christmas is coming, so maybe. So tell us, in the last couple minutes we have, do you have any tips or ideas or precautions that our listeners should think about as they prepare their businesses for growth? Anything that comes to the top of your mind that they should be thinking about?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In the sale of a company, you are in a very cooperative process with the other side. If you're the seller of the business and the buyer is coming in and evaluating whether to buy your business, there needs to be a high level of trust there. A trust that you are not only being open and honest about your business and what you know about it, but also credibility that you know what you're talking about. And that when you hand over your financial statements, for example, they're clean, they're correct, they're complete, and they're not misleading. Preferably, they're audited, and not only currently audited, but going back several years. And this is so that there is a confidence that comes in from the point of view of the buyer. A tip that I would have is try to look at it from the buyer's point of view and assess your business now in terms of what is the driving value in your business. Is it a patent portfolio or is it a customer list? Is it access to certain markets? Are you in a niche? Are there barriers to entry? And whatever that is, make sure that you can protect that and deliver it as part of the sale. And talk to an advisor about how to go about doing that to make sure that it's ready. Some of the smaller things that can be focused on in terms of tips and tricks is, in order to make the sale process go smoother, you want to have, of course, clean books and records. You also want to have access to all your material contracts. As you go through entering into contracts, think about assignment clauses in there and make sure that you have the right to assign your material contracts to a buyer, particularly in the event of a sale of a business. A lot of times, customers, large customers, might want to restrict that because they want to make sure they have a consent right on who they're doing business with. If you can, try to avoid that so that you have the right to sell your business without asking that third party for approval.
So make sure that you can transfer freely in advance before you find out that you can't at some point down the road because that could hold up the sale. What else you have?
An idea here is to also look at your business not only from the value point of view but from the risk point of view. What is it about your business that is likely to make a buyer nervous, that they might get sued for something about your business after the sale? So if you're selling products, a buyer will be worried about product liability. Mm-hmm. If you're selling those products to the general public, then the buyer will be worried about false advertising and basically consumer class action claims for misleading labeling if it's a food product, for example. On the patent side, they'll be worried about potential claims for infringement from a prior owner of an infringed patent. So to the extent you can speak with a patent lawyer and make sure you've done the research on the prior art and you've got some confidence, then that's going to not only give comfort to the buyer, but it will give comfort to you if and when you're asked to give a rep and warranty that there is no infringement being caused by your own patents that you're selling. And so identifying areas of concern now is a great thing to do in order to start getting the blocks in place so that you're ready to deliver the business.
So when should someone get in touch with you? Is it
Answer is now. Yes.
The best answer was 5 years ago and the second best is now.
Well, I think that's absolutely correct because you should be running your business in a way to not, you know, of course you need to maximize the value of the business, try to get it in a manner that it can run on its own without you, assuming your idea of selling it is to actually leave, and make sure that you're running it professionally and properly. And that can be tricky, even for larger companies, but especially for smaller business owners, smaller companies, running it in a way where the owner and the managers are all being constantly trained and constantly updated on how to run it in a best practices way is critical. And talking to an M&A attorney such as myself, talking to and having a good auditor that's familiar with these types of transactions and knows how to do financial due diligence so they can help you survive that scrutiny when the time comes, having insurance, everything needs to be in place and should be analyzed right away, especially if someone's listening to your program that suggests that they've got an idea of selling their business within the foreseeable horizon.
Excellent tips. Addison, how does someone get in touch with you?
Well, my firm is Richardson Patel. The website is richardsonpatel.com. I can be reached at 949-943-8079.
One more time, the phone number?
949-943-8079.
Okay. Addison, this is a fascinating interview. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope our listeners were paying attention. I hope you'll come back and join us again sometime soon. Thank you.
I would love to. Thank you very much, Bill.
This is Bill Black, the founder and host of the Exit Coach Radio Show. Recently, we asked national radio show host Ed Till to listen to our show and offer his comments. Here's his review.
It's because if you don't control the company, you can't generally sell the interest very readily. There's not usually a market for the stock.
So you see that if you're a business owner over the age of 50 at ExitCoachRadio.com, they interview advisors and get the best tips, the best ideas, and the best precautions. So you can be well-planned. They load a new one-minute tip every day. You know, wisdom and insight sometimes are not sensational, but they're extremely compelling when you hear them. It's the content of what's being said. Isn't clarity, in addition to business advice, but clarity and common sense grounding, doesn't that sound so refreshing? They have the tips, the ideas, the precautions, the wisdom, the insights that you need. A one-minute tip every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come and listen for a minute. Hear from those who are on the front line. Introduce you to how to avoid pitfalls, how to overcome adversity, how to learn from the trials and tribulations of others and get the essence of their solution. You know, kick it around, bend it around, and make it work for you. But ExitCoachRadio.com is where it all begins. You heard about it here on the Ed Till Show because it's supportive of what you're doing every day. That's way ahead of it. Remember when you thought the high school prom was a big deal in your life? Try being an over 50 business owner at ExitCoachRadio.com. They help. It's not easy. That's why they help at ExitCoachRadio.com.
It's time for another Experts Corner with Jeffrey M. Verdon of Verdon Law Group with his tips about estate and asset protection planning.
Jeff, you write and speak extensively about asset protection planning. Can you tell our listeners why this is so important and why one should consider it both at the personal level and the business level?
Back in 1986, I was hired by a group of doctors, and these doctors were looking to retire in 5 years. The problem was when they delivered their last baby, they were on the hook for that child's liability for 18 years and then an additional year for the statute of limitations. So they were going to be in their early 80s before they were out of the woods legally. And so our practice really focused on how do we protect the client's assets in case of an unforeseen lawsuit and then make sure we build in all of the other protections following the implementation of asset protection planning. Now, fast forward 30 years, I was a speaker at a lawyer conference, and I asked the group, of those of you that regularly practice estate planning, how many of you are regularly counseling your clients on asset protection planning? One hand went up in that room. It still seems that the professional community does not really get the need and the importance of building these asset protection strategies, and that's why we emphasize asset protection planning so much.
To contact the Jeffrey M. Verdon Law Group, call 949-333-8150 or visit them online at jmvlaw.com. Hey, everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. If you want to sell your business, choose a business broker with integrity and experience. Empire Business Solutions has been a leading independent M&A specialist in Orange County since 2005. They've handled over 75 successful transactions, and it starts with strict confidentiality, then valuation, through marketing and closing the transaction. To have a confidential discussion and get a free business valuation, call Roy Moss, president of Empire Business Solutions, at 714-374-6430. That's 714-374-6430. Hey, everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. TLD Law can turn your exit planning dreams into legal reality. I've had the pleasure of working with the lawyers at TLD Law for over 10 years, and I know from personal experience that this firm knows how to assure that you, your family, and business are all protected. Whether you need an estate plan, a corporate shareholder agreement, or a complete business succession strategy, TLD Law should be your next call. Visit tldlaw.com or call 949-756-0684. Again, that's tldlaw.com or 949-756-0684. Our guest now is Julie Anderson from Your Best Mind. Julie, welcome to the show. Thanks very much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on.
Great to have you, Julie. Tell us about Your Best Mind. How did you get started with the concept for the company, and how did you get started with it?
Well, my journey into the brain, if you will, started about 20 years ago when I was studying psychoneuroimmunology, and it fascinated me about the science behind the psychology, as I like to call it. So I just started digging into everything I could, and about 15 years ago, I created this format where I could then share this very technical scientific information with people and companies and families to help them improve their relationships, and I named it Your Best Mind, and it's just been a wonderful brain journey ever since.
What types of clients do you work with then? Is it family businesses, or is it individuals, or a mix of all the above?
A mix of all of the above. I have programs for families and parenting, because when the parents understand what's going on in the brain of the child, it's greatly beneficial. Entrepreneurs, I work a lot with entrepreneurs and individuals who are trying to gain greater success in their business and in their relationships. And then I do a lot of corporate work with larger companies who need to increase their bottom line and improve communications internally and improve that structure of their business for a good, strong, solid working machine, and help them to do that by using this scientific approach.
What are some of the roadblocks you find along the way when you're working in the corporate sector with leaders who need to have better lines of communication with their, say, key employees?
Leaders are great, because leaders oftentimes are gifted in their general area. In other words, they're gifted in the portions of their brain that are very focused on leading, that are very focused on forward momentum. However, all of us have this tendency to default in the areas of our brain that we work best in. And this is out of science. This is PET scans and fMRI scans and these different things that show where we have our energy expenditure advantage in our brain. So we naturally default into those segments because that's what's easiest for us. That's where we burn the least amount of energy. The problem there becomes that those that we are working with or that we're leading, they could work out of a completely different portion of their brain. So if we're communicating and we're leading in one direction, they may not be getting it. Their brains literally may not be processing the information the way we need them to process it, and therefore our productivity decreases and our communication goes awry, and then there's friction and nobody's happy with anybody and water cooler talk and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you might be speaking loud and clear in your language, but it's like as if they speak a foreign language and you're just not getting through to them to the point where they're going to respond back or it's going to be an effective communication. So what are some of the ways to break down those barriers?
Well, first, when you understand the science behind the psychology of human nature and really are able to understand the reason why. People love to have the reason why. It's just a common question that we always ask. And when you know the reason why the male brain processes differently than the female brain, then now when I'm communicating with someone of the opposite sex, I can take that into consideration and that's going to help for the person I'm sending the message to get it. If I'm an auditory and I'm sending to a kinesthetic, I have to help them feel it, not just hear it. If I'm a leader and I'm dealing with visuals, I have to help them see it as opposed to just hear it. So by taking all these different dynamics, people begin to understand the reason why other people think the way they do, and it just helps to smooth out all of the communication, and people stop disliking everyone in the office.
I've heard that before, that the most important thing you can do to any type of a request is to add the word because, or explain why it's important and add that on, not just say what to do, but, you know, if you can help me do this, it would be really helpful because this is that true? Is that what we're talking about, helping them understand the reason why?
Absolutely. The brain works much better if it knows why. Other than that, you just feel like you're being driven. You just feel like you're being told what to do, and it's more of a dictatorship feeling as opposed to a smooth-running engine. You know, when you know why, then it's like, oh, okay, I understand where he's coming from. Even if you don't agree with it, even if it's not the way you would handle a situation, at least you know where they're coming from and why that is what is going to work best from their point of view. And it makes it easier to do. You feel more included. You feel more a part of the team. And that makes it easier for your brain to wrap around the idea of what needs to be done.
That's very interesting. And, you know, it can be very helpful to somebody who's having trouble with somebody. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today, was dealing with difficult people, especially in the workplace. And so when there's something called the science behind the psychology of human nature. What is the science behind the psychology of human nature?
Well, it really, up until the last couple of decades, it was pretty much the Freudian philosophy was what drove a lot of understanding of people and what makes them tick. So it was how you were raised, who raised you, what were the issues that you might have had growing up, and this created the person you are today. What science is showing us, that neuroscience is showing us, is that that's only 50% of the picture. You know, the flip side of the coin is literally, according to, you know, what's coming out of the field, they're able to identify that individuals tend to have certain areas of their brain where they work up to 1/100th the amount of energy out of there. So they're just spending a lot less energy to work in that particular portion of their brain, or less energy to communicate in this style. What that means is that there's a science behind the psychology of what people are doing. It's that reason why that we talked about earlier, why this person is acting this way, and it's not something I can necessarily train out of them, or I can mold them to become something different. Now I understand the science, it's the way their brain is wired, so now I have to figure out, okay, how do I communicate with that, or how do I connect with that?
Mm-hmm. And was their brain wired like that from birth, pretty much, or did they learn some of those reactions or behaviors along the way?
It's both. You do have the learned behavior. For example, if I was a right-brained individual by DNA, that's coded in my DNA. If you scan my brain, that's where my energy expenditure advantage is. That's where I work the best. But I'm raised by very left-brained individuals, then I may tend to act more like a left-brainer, even though my natural gift is in the right side of my brain. So I can learn how to do behavior, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's where I'm going to function the best, the most efficiently, and the most effectively, which that goes into actually the hiring process and where you place the right person in the right job. You want people that are gifted in their brain area that matches that particular job that you're placing them in, because you don't want high employee turnover. They may appear to be a left-brainer, but really they're a right-brainer, so you want them in a right-brain position. So kind of both, but they're definitely seeing that it's attached to your DNA. It is the wiring, the way you are, you know, from the second you're conceived.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. I mean, there are a lot of, obviously, a lot of psychological tests, ways that you can categorize how a person's going to react in a certain situation, and if those characteristics are going to be appropriate for the type of job if they're going to be happy, in other words, at the type of job you're trying to put them in, and effective. And then there are other learned behaviors, like, you know, we all know people that, well, I'm from California here, I know people that have moved to Tennessee, and you call them in a year, and they've got this Tennessee drawl. They're learning behavior
you know, as it's around them. They're adapting, and that's natural too. So it seems to me that if somebody's in a corporate environment, in a company environment, where they could be adapting to behavior that they've been spoon-fed for years, or, you know, where, well, the owner's always grumpy, so I'm always going to be grumpy. In other words, I'm just trying to figure out how much of that is, if an owner finds that they're having dysfunctional communications, I guess here's my question. Could they point their finger at themselves and say, I could be the cause of that because I'm not an effective communicator and I've spawned this?
Absolutely. You always have to start with yourself. You always have to start by looking at, again, we process on a default. We process where we work the easiest, what's automatic for our brain and for our personality to do. So if there is miscommunication, if there's friction, if the company is unhappy, you got to start at the top. Who's the leaders? What are they doing? Am I communicating incorrectly, or am I sending messages in such a way that they're feeling I'm upset or I'm angry? Or, you know, I could be very left brain and to the point, but sometimes that may come across tactful. I'm not trying to be mean, but this is the way my brain works. So maybe I need to adjust the way I deliver the messages so that my personnel, they don't think I'm mad at them all the time. So sometimes it's just a simple switch that you can do, but you do. You have to start with yourself before you can start identifying problems within the group.
That is great input. You know, and another situation comes to mind, and especially in our listener group, Julia's age, 50-plus business owners, a lot of them are thinking about succession management, right?
Yes.
So in a lot of situations, what I'm hearing from people is, yeah, well, the successor managers, you know, I got to go in now just because I got to smooth things out with people. He or she is not a people person like I was. And so, you know, they're an effective at financials and organization and operations, but the people aren't getting that warm, fuzzy feeling. That's a potential recipe for problems in a workplace, but it sounds like with the right type of analysis and exercises that they can help influence that person's behavior to become perhaps a people person. Is that fair to say, or is that just wishing and hoping?
No, we have a lot of techniques that we do, just simple little practices that people can do that help them to learn to communicate with the different brains and the way that the different brains function. But you're very right. You can train them to stop and think. It's one of the tips that I give people. It's like, use your brain. You've got to just take a breath real quick and think about, how am I sending the message and how are they going to receive it? Do I have to just simply add a few words, add a thank you, add a please? How is their brain? You know, some brains are going to take it and run with it and be fine. Other brains are going to be more sensitive. It's all based on the way it's wired.
Yeah, it could be as simple as what we talked about earlier, adding because to every statement, every order you give. Maybe you're not a because kind of a person. Maybe you're a dictator. But you have to examine, especially for our listeners who are thinking about, how do I communicate and how does my successor management communicate, and is there going to be a problem, and should I recognize that early on and start working on that, you know, be cognizant of that up front? It's very, very important, because it could be the difference between a key employee staying with the company or saying, I'm never going to work with that person because they're a jerk.
Exactly. And when everybody starts to be able to look at the brain personality connection profile and understanding is huge in any facet of your life. When you understand something, it makes you able to deal with that better. Even if it's a tough situation, you're still able to manage it and handle it better. And it gives you it gives each individual the ability to step back and go, you know what, it's their opinion, it's the way their brain processes. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with me. It's just their brain is just communicating or working or functioning on a completely different level. And if I can figure out and understand that level, then maybe I can deal with it better.
Well, let's say you got one leader and 50 employees and somebody's got to adapt. It's going to be a lot easier for that leader to understand and adapt than expecting all the 50 employees to adapt to their style, although there's going to be some ego involved and some hard decisions and stuff there. But this is a very important area, because we talk a lot about the fact that it's fairly easy to transfer assets from one balance sheet to another in the sale or transition of a company. It's very difficult to transfer that leadership, that warm fuzzy that everybody might be used to, for all these years to someone else who may have a completely different mindset and a different personality. So this is important work that you do, and I want to really tell our listeners, this is important. This is something that could make or break your company over the next several years, and you really need to start with some kind of an analysis and figure out, is this going to be an issue? So how do people start by doing that? What are some of the first things that you do with employers who are saying, I might have a problem here, can you help me out?
Well, the first thing is to simply explain to them what is a brain-personality connection. So what are the different dynamics? And there's five main dynamics that make up the personality profile that we have. One is the nurture. It's how we were raised, the culture. You know, just like you said, if you were raised in the South, your attitude, your speech, your please, your thank you, all of those things may exist completely differently than if you were raised in New York or out in California. There is that factor. Then you look at the science, which is, are they an introvert, an extrovert, an ambivert? Do they communicate best through auditory, visual, or kinesthetic modalities? Is it a male, female? You know, I'm not saying one's better or one's worse. I'm just simply saying the brains are structurally different in 12 main areas, and that affects communication. And then are you the boss brain quadrant dominant? Are you the master coordinator brain quadrant dominant? Are you the nurturer brain quadrant dominant? Or are you the innovator brain quadrant dominant? And this is just all that science. So company owners need to understand what comprises a brain personality connection. And then I move with them and help them to identify who the different dynamics are within their company and how to best fix problems that may exist and avoid problems that may pop up in the future based on this new information.
Well, it sounds like a process-driven system, first understanding. It sounds like just spending some time with you to understand how people fit into these different areas and have a better understanding of that is almost like getting an owner's manual to your key employees, their minds anyways. And I think that's very important. You know, we say all the time that, you know, your best assets go home every night. And yet, how much time do employers really spend trying to understand how to communicate with those best assets? Not much.
And it's definitely, when you're talking about, if you're a financially driven business owner, you have to understand that right now, according to statistics, to Gallup polls, you know, 70% of U.S. employees do not feel a part of the company. They do not feel engaged. They do not feel well communicated with. They're not happy, and that's costing billions and billions of dollars every year in lost productivity just because things aren't functioning well within the business. So if you can get this problem taken care of from the get-go, you're increasing your bottom line immediately.
I've heard that before, that huge number of employees aren't happy, but they're not so unhappy that they're going to leave. But there are a couple things that you can do that might help them become happier, and part of those things would be communicating with them effectively. So it's very important. So, Julie, you give speeches and put on workshops for business owners all over the country, right?
I do, yes.
Okay. And so are those workshops that help explain what we've been talking about and then put people through exercises so they can go back with some aha kind of material and say, okay, I'm going to start working on this? Are they complete workshops, or are they a stepping stone towards working on an individual basis?
We kind of have all three. So I have shorter half-day workshops that are focused on, here's the bulk of the information, here's a comprehensive, you know, book that you take with you, and here's a few, you know, we run a few little exercises within the room, and that's all I can cover in this amount of time. You can take it from here. If you want more of my help, I'm here. Or I do full-day workshops where there's a lot more interaction, a lot more specific, pinpointed, this is a problem that you've told me you're experiencing in your business. Here's how we can address it, and here's some interactive activities that we can work on. Or I even go within, I'll go all the way up to doing a consultation with the company leaders themselves and do one-on-one in-depth work with them with a huge manual and help them to identify within, to put together a questionnaire so that they can identify within their company where everybody's going to fit best and who everybody is from a brain personality connection point of view. So I kind of cover the whole gamut and we'll customize whatever is going to be best for the individual companies.
That's great. So the first step is for our listeners to go to your website and download a copy of Increase Your Bottom Line Through Improved Communication. It's an ebook, and it's available at your website. And that is at, what's your URL, Julie?
YourBestMindOnline.com.
Okay, www.yourbestmindonline.com. And you're also offering for our listeners that they could give you a call and set up a complimentary 30-minute consultation, just talk about what their areas are and figure out if there might be a way you can help them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you want the code, the ebook is listed on the website. I need to give you a code to put in so that it wipes the $3.99 out of there.
Okay.
So email me and I'll get you the code. Or actually, No, just put in there for the show, put in the code Exit Radio. That'll be the code. I'll set that up as soon as I get off the line.
Exit Radio. Okay, so if you go to yourbestmindonline.com and enter the code Exit Radio, you'll have access to a free ebook and be able to kind of figure out, you know, I need more information. Let's get the information. Let's figure out if we should move forward. And then you'll have access to call Julie Anderson at Your Best Mind and have her help you out. You know, it's so important to get your employee communications right. And especially if you're thinking about your leadership and your future leadership, you need to make sure that they're getting it right. You do not want the business back with, you know, absent a bunch of employees who left because you left it in the hands of somebody who couldn't communicate as well as you could. So it's very important. So, Julie, thank you so much for joining us today. It was very, very much a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope you'll join us again at another time and we can go deeper into some of these other topics. I know you have a lot of ways we can go here. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
It has been my pleasure to be on the show. Thank you very much, Bill, for having me here.
We're going to take a short break, so please stay with us.
Now it's time for our Experts Corner on Branding with Kevin Tour, Senior Vice President of HKA Marketing Communications. Can a strong website give my company more recognition and increase sales, even though our competitors are much larger?
Well, the short answer is absolutely. And to be honest, there's no excuse to lag on the website front, particularly if you want to reinforce your brand. A strong, strategically developed, carefully implemented, and consistently maintained website can yield huge results for any company. It really does not matter if you're at the starting gate or ready to sell. There's no bigger window into your company and its brand than your website. And in today's business world, websites are tools that level the playing field. Smaller companies usually can't afford the website bells and whistles that larger companies can. But even a small company using a basic platform like WordPress can create an online presence that's professional and really gives the impression of a much larger, more well-established organization. And by adding a blog that regularly delivers content your target audience wants, you can maintain interest in the website and your company. You might also want to consider an interactive website with a variety of calls to action, as they say. These are items that encourage prospects to reach out. Successful websites are highly interactive and also responsive, which means designed to be viewed effectively on every platform, including your desktop computer, your tablet, or your smartphone.
For more information about HKA Marketing Communications, call them today at 714-426-0444. That's 714-426-0444. Or go online for their social media content calendar, a free guide available at hkamarcom.com. That's hkamarcom.com. Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. I want you to take just a few minutes and think about all of your assets that you've worked so hard to accumulate in your lifetime. Your business, your properties, your major assets. You're proud of those assets and you don't want anybody to take those away. However, there are many forces at work that are out to get your assets. Lawsuits, taxes, unforeseen financial calamities. You need a firm like the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group to help you look out for your assets and protect your future. They use practical and effective and elegant estate planning strategies that are individually designed to meet your specific goals and objectives. They believe in using their knowledge and expertise to create long-term effective strategies that safeguard your assets and your loved ones. Don't leave things to chance. Call the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group today and ask them how they can help you protect your assets. Their phone number is 877-774-9238. That's 877-774-9238. Tell them the Exit Coach sent you.
At BEI, Business Enterprise Institute, our mission is helping owners benefit from their life's work. We accomplish this by providing comprehensive, continual exit planning training, marketing support, certification, and plan design to business owner advisors. Thousands of exit plans have been created over the past 10 years by hundreds of advisors using our planning software to help owners grow, protect, and transfer business value. To learn more about exit planning and BEI, call us toll-free at 888-206-3009 or visit us online at www.exitplanning.com.
That's going to do it for the show today. I want to thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank my guests, my sponsors, and my producer, Julie Tabazon, for pulling the show together. It's been a real pleasure to be with you today. I want to remind you, go to our website at exitcoachradio.com, and you can dig into all kinds of interviews with advisors, including our past interviews here on AMA 30. And follow us on Twitter at Exit Coach. We'll see you again next week here on AMA 30 KLAA. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.